How do you do? There is no substitute for a father's love. That's part of the reason for our troubled youth today. Children of shattered families grow up without fathers and seek alternatives, like the woman in this story. She tried to fill the emptiness in various ways, even idolatry. But the longing was satisfied only when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Here he comes, Mother. He's coming right to us.
Oh, he has the aura of a god. Throw your flowers, Julian.
Say, Baba, we love you.
Ah, you have many problems with your head, little one. What is your name?
Julian.
You are awesome, Lord Baba.
What can I do for you, my dear?
I want to follow you, Sai Baba. Oh. I want to sit at your feet all day and learn from you.
I have a college for eager students like you. Can you afford college?
Yes, my family has money.
Ah, welcome, welcome. Please, come soon.
Oh, Mother, I adore him. Can I go?
Yes, Julian.
He is a god. Without doubt, he is a god.
Bringing light into the darkness, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Darkness is hard for street people. While others go home, they wander, searching for a safe hideaway to sleep. The best place to go in Chicago is Pacific Garden Mission, where hundreds of people are sheltered each night. Since 1877, the mission has offered refuge to the homeless, giving men, women, and children food, clothing, and a clean bunk. The old lighthouse is also the only place in Chicago where hurting and destitute people receive medical and dental care without charge. But that's not all. Classes and counseling, Bible study and prayer help those who were homeless walk in the light of truth. You see, Pacific Garden Mission brings the light of the world into the darkness of the human heart, where new life is born. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2536 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The woman in our story was born in 1953 on an island off the coast of India, then known as Ceylon, now called Sri Lanka. And like the majority of people in India, her family was Hindu. And like the majority of people in the world, she has known great suffering because of economic conditions, because she was a woman, and more recently because of her faith. This is the true story of a woman called Julian, right now on Unshackled.
I was the oldest of four children in our family. My mother and father quarreled often, and my father left when I was young, which broke my heart. From then on, we lived with my maternal grandparents, who were kind, but I always wished my parents would be together. Grandfather, you came to school.
Yes, child. Your mother is here too.
I knew she was coming, but I didn't know for sure that you would come.
I want to be certain you're learning the right things, Julian. Your father should do that, but he doesn't care.
Grandfather, do you see how many of my friends are wearing crosses? Can I please wear one too?
No. I've told you many times, we send you to Christian school because the education is better. But we're not Christian, and you may not wear a cross. We're Hindu, Julian. Remember that.
I was proud of being Hindu. Rising at 4 in the morning, I would say the Omkaram 21 times to wake up whatever god I worshipped at the time. Then I would spend hours cleaning my idols and offering food to them. But I also suffered from epileptic seizures, even though I was given medicine regularly. These attacks came unexpectedly, often around others.
Oh, Julian, can you hear me?
Yes. I had a seizure, didn't I?
Can you get up now?
I'm so embarrassed, Mother.
Never mind. Did you take your medicine today?
Yes, of course. Come on, let's go.
I don't understand why the medicine doesn't help. It must be something you did in a previous life.
Mother, Sai Baba can help me. I'm sure he can. He does so many miracles.
Perhaps.
Can we go to him? I know he can help me. I believe in him. Sai Baba was India's most powerful and famous guru with millions of followers. When I was 16, I became a devotee and attended the college he founded. I was one of his favorite devotees because of my family's wealth. I thought he was a god. He thought he was a god too.
Ah, you look very sad today, Julianne. How can you be sad in my presence?
I'm sorry, Baba. I was thinking about my father.
Ah.
Why doesn't he want to live with my mother?
No, no. Do not worry, little one. I will bring them back together.
You will?
Yes, of course. Do not worry. It will happen.
Thank you, Baba.
But I will take all your burdens on my shoulders. Only you must control your mind. Lose your earthly desires, even for your father's love.
But, Baba...
No. Love only me, and I will take care of you.
Baba, will my seizures end?
Yes, Wednesday.
My father married another woman, and my seizures didn't end. When I asked Baba, he shrugged and said he didn't say which Wednesday. Still, I remained a devoted follower year after year, not even going home to see my family. But I began to have real questions about Baba. Why would God need bodyguards and someone to taste his food? During the 9 years I followed Sai Baba, my island home of Ceylon went through upheaval, and the name was changed to Sri Lanka. The turmoil there reflected the turmoil in my heart as I became more and more disillusioned with Baba. Then my grandfather died, and grandmother was very sick, so I went home to take care of her.
Did your grandmother drink the tea?
Yes, Mother. I am praying that she will get better.
We cannot change our karma, Julianne. No matter what happens, she will live on, perhaps in some other form, but immortal nonetheless.
Why is that so frightening to me?
I don't know. If you live right, you will reincarnate into a better position. Don't worry about it.
That's what Baba always said. But I still wonder. I asked him why our Hindu gods are so unjust to women.
What do you mean?
Shiva and the other gods have many wives. Why not just one wife?
What did Baba say?
He scolded me and told me not to ask such questions.
He's right. You should be getting married yourself, Julianne. You're the oldest daughter, the first granddaughter. And you're 27 years old. It's time.
Who should I marry, Mother?
There is a man who saw you recently, and he asked permission to marry you.
In India, marriages are arranged by the families. So in 1980, I married this man my mother met. He was a follower of Sai Baba, even though I no longer was. I didn't know my husband. I didn't know that he wanted to marry me for my family's money. I learned the truth a week after our wedding.
You didn't bring any dowry to the marriage.
But my family paid 1,000 grams of gold and jewelry.
The jewelry is in your name. What good is it to me?
What about the paddy field? Property like that is surely valuable.
It is in your name too.
Well, all this furniture, that's part of the dowry.
It isn't enough! You're worthless! Worthless! Worthless!
He beat me regularly, but I never told my family. Then we moved to a neighboring country in the Arabian Gulf when my husband's uncle got him a good job there. Our first child, a daughter, was born the next year. When Anna was 6 months old, I took her to Sri Lanka to visit my family. While there, I had a paralytic attack and was rushed to the hospital.
Julianne, are you awake again?
Yes, Mother.
They've done a lot of tests on you.
I know. I'm very tired.
They aren't sure what's wrong. Perhaps a brain tumor or even cancer. The doctors want to operate.
Did you call Rajayev?
Yes. He can't be here. He said to do whatever was best. You're lucky to have such a good husband.
That year, the civil war in Sri Lanka forced my family to flee to southern India, leaving everything behind. I returned to my husband in the Gulf. Even after the operation on my brain, I had seizures and took medicine to control the epilepsy. Doctors warned me not to conceive because the baby would be affected by the drugs. But I became pregnant and was very anxious about the baby I carried. I reduced the drugs, then went to India for scanning and treatment. I carried twins, and they were perfect. After they were born in Madras, my husband came to see me. Did you see them?
Yes.
Aren't they handsome?
Babies are never handsome, Julian.
What shall we name them?
Whatever you like.
What about Andrew and Michael?
Fine.
As soon as they can travel, we'll come home.
I think you should stay here close to your family.
But the children should be with you too. They need their father.
I will come see you, and I'll let you know when you can come back.
How can we afford to have two households?
Your family has money.
Not anymore. When they left Sri Lanka, they lost everything.
You'll manage, Julian.
I didn't know that my husband returned to the Gulf and told friends that the twins were not his children. I didn't know that he had secretly and illegally married another woman, a flight attendant for an airline. Sai Baba had performed the ceremony. There was so much I didn't know then.
Julianne would soon learn something that would radically change her life, and she'll tell us about that in just a moment. The world offers a lot of diversion, but there is no substitute for time alone with God, reading His Word, learning His truth. To help you do that, we offer a Gospel of John Bible study course completely free. Nothing to sign, no books to buy. All you need is a Bible and a desire to grow spiritually. Just write and ask, and we'll send you the first lesson, one page of questions with references for you to read and answer at your own pace and in the privacy of your home. And there are 6 lessons in all and a final exam, all designed to help you learn more about God's love and His purpose for your life. The truth you learn will help you in every aspect of your life, from your relationship with others to success in your work. God left nothing to chance. If you have a computer and are online, you can also order the Gospel of John Bible study course from our website, www.unshackled.org. Or simply write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
My husband wouldn't let me work. Neither would he send me any money to help with the children. Every year he came to visit us, and each time it was the same.
There's nothing to eat here. Go out and get some food.
I don't have any money. Give me some money.
Why should I give you money? Your family is rich.
Rashayev, these are your children. But you never send me any money. Only my uncle helps me sometimes.
Sign the property over to me, and I will see that you get some money.
I can't do that.
You can, and you will.
Oh, don't. You're hurting me.
I should kill you for being so selfish. Sign the property over to me.
No, never. Every time he visited, he beat me. But I never told my family about his abuse. Although my uncle occasionally gave me money, I finally took in a Sri Lankan schoolboy to get money for food. When my husband came to visit in 1986, he was furious.
How dare you take in a boarder without asking me?
I had no choice, Rajayev. I need the money to buy food.
You are lying.
I'm not. If you would send me money, I wouldn't have to do this.
Are you criticizing me?
No, please. My mother is visiting.
I don't care. She's as bad as you are. She should have kept you from doing something shameful like that. How do you think it looks to others?
Don't you care about the children? They need to eat.
They're your children. They're not mine to worry about. Let your family take care of them.
What are you doing?
I'm taking my clothes with me. I want nothing to do with you.
How can you do this?
You are stupid. Go make me a cup of coffee.
I made the coffee, but was very frightened of him and approached slowly. He refused to accept the coffee, so I sat down beside Mother. He was yelling at both of us when, suddenly, he came in the room with a crowbar and hit my mother and me. I blacked out.
Julianne, wake up. Julianne!
Is he gone?
Yes.
Are you all right?
I think my arm is broken.
The children?
They're all right.
What if he comes back? He'll kill us.
He won't come back. He took all his clothes.
Oh, mother. Oh, my head. I'm bleeding. We have to go to the hospital.
He was crazy. I've never seen him like that.
He has beaten me every time he has come home.
You never told me.
I was afraid and ashamed. But this time I'm going to the police.
You'll only make things worse.
Mother and I were treated at the government hospital, but her arm was so damaged she lost the use of it. Afterward, I went to the police about my husband, and when I returned home, I told Mother what the police had said.
Well?
There's nothing they can do, because there is no record of his crime.
No record? What about the hospital?
The hospital has no record of us being there. Nothing.
It's karma.
It's corruption. He bribed the officials.
What are you going to do?
What can I do? Get a divorce?
No, you must not do that.
After what he did to us?
He was just angry because you took in a boarder without telling him. He'll get over it. You must not get a divorce.
My sister and her husband had moved to the same Gulf country where my husband lived, and they learned about his secret life and told me. They also confronted the other woman, who was unaware that my husband had a wife and children. By letter and phone, my sister kept me informed as events unfolded. Listen to this, Mother. She writes that when this woman questioned Rajayev about you and the children, he struck her and made her lame. She lost her job because of the injury.
He can't control his temper.
He has divorced me and has now married another woman. And they have moved to Canada, she says. Oh, Mother, I can't believe even Rajayev could be so terrible.
Divorce? Julianne, this is shameful and it's all your fault.
How can you say that?
It must have been something you did to drive him away like that.
Can't you see that he married me only for money? He beat me constantly, trying to get me to sign the property over to him.
Maybe it would have been better.
Then where would I be? The next 3 years were a terrible time in my life. My whole family blamed me for the failed marriage. My sisters and brother wouldn't communicate with me, and I couldn't work because of the children. My uncle sent me money from time to time, but we were desperately poor, wearing old, tattered clothes. I had nothing to feed my children most of the time. They would cry, and I would give them black coffee because I had no milk. I became like a zombie, neglecting them and myself as well. But a man who lived in the same apartment building befriended me.
Hello, Julianne. Have you and your children been for a walk?
Yes. We went to Sabarimalai.
Ah, many people go there.
They say the gods answer prayers there. Whatever you wish will happen.
Ah, do you believe that?
No. I made a wish, but it didn't happen.
The gods you cried out to are not real.
None of the gods are real. I don't believe in anything anymore.
No, Julianne. Jesus Christ is real. He is the only true and living God. He will change your life.
I don't think anyone can help me.
Jesus will. I know him. I go to a church not far from here. Why don't you join us on Sunday morning?
I don't know. I am cursed by God.
No, Julianne. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. You come to church and bring your children. The pastor will tell you all about Jesus.
All right. I try it once.
Jesus made some amazing claims. He said he was the Son of God, who came to earth to die in our place because the penalty for our sin is death. He said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said there is only one way to God, and that way is through him, through his blood of atonement. In this country, many gods are worshipped, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In this country, many believe in reincarnation, that you are born again and again and again until you reach perfection. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 in the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Jesus took our judgment to the cross. Believe in him and what he did for you there, and you will be free from the penalty of sin and death. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
I burst into tears and began praying silently. "Help me, God. I don't know what to do. I can't seem to do anything to help myself. I give myself to you. From now on, I will do what you say." I felt such happiness flood through me. Never had I felt such peace. The pastor gave me a Bible to read, and every day I prayed to God, asking him to show me what to do. I burned all my idols, everything that pertained to my Hindu religion. My family was furious.
"How could you do something like that?"
"I believe in Jesus, Mother. He's real."
"No one in our family has ever been anything but Hindu. They will disown you."
"I know. My uncle has already written me a letter. He said he'll never speak to me again unless I throw away my Bible. But I can't do that."
"He sent you money from time to time. Now what'll you do?"
"I'll have to get a job."
"What can you do?"
"I can teach school. I ask the Lord to help me."
"Ah, you're a fool, Julian. What did I do to deserve such a daughter like you?"
A friend at church told me about a vacancy at a school where I could teach for 300 rupees a month, about $10. But when I applied, the official denied there was a vacancy. Another friend told me to apply again because the school did have a vacancy and was looking for me. I got the job and couldn't wait to tell my friends at church how God was faithful.
"Julian, did you get a job?"
"Yes. And I can earn extra money as a tutor."
"Oh, that is wonderful."
"The first time they said no, and I was so discouraged. Then I saw a sign on a church wall that said, 'Don't fear. God will always care for you.'
Amen."
I thought God was speaking right to me."
"Oh, he speaks to us in many ways."
"Today I can tithe for the first time."
"God does not expect you to tithe. Not when you're poor and have small children to feed."
"No, I must tithe. I want to give to him because he has given so much to me." The next month, I was offered the job of botany teacher at more than double the previous salary. God had blessed me. I earned enough to pay our bills and eat, but we were still very poor. 2 years passed before my mother's heart softened and she came to help me when my daughter was ill.
"The children seem to be doing well."
"It hasn't been easy, but they are always helpful, no matter how bad things are."
"My daughter, you made your own problems."
"I know, Mother, but I have no regrets. God has been very good to me. When Christmas came, I had no money to buy new clothes for the children, and I felt so sad. Then a package came, just before Christmas. Inside were complete new outfits for the children. And every piece of clothing fit perfectly."
"Where did it come from?"
"From Kerala."
"Who do you know there?"
"No one. I asked the pastor at church if he told anyone about me, but he had not. I don't know who sent it, so I just thanked God."
"I still think you made the wrong decision, but you have to live with it."
"Mother, I used to get up early to wake up my idols and clean and feed them, but the Lord never sleeps. He makes me clean and feeds me with his word. Even the children believe in him now."
"There's no going back then."
"No, Mother. I can never turn away from Jesus. Never." In time, my sister who lived in the Gulf country also relented and invited me to come and live with her, where I could work and earn almost $300 a month to support my family. I left my children in the care of my mother in 1994. In 1995, my younger brother joined us. Life was not easy with them because they still practiced Hinduism. But eventually, my sister chose to follow Christ. Then she moved to another country, and there was only my brother and I.
Julianne, did you get paid today?
Yes, finally. They were almost a month late.
Can I borrow some money? I still have not been paid.
I sent most of my money home for the children.
But we need to eat.
God will help us.
How can you believe that?
Because it's true. He cares for us, and he hears our prayers.
Julianne, why do you suffer so much? Huh? You pray all the time, but people here still take advantage of you.
I know they do. But even so, I have peace in my heart because I know the Lord, and he is good to me. Look how he took away my seizures. I haven't had one since I invited him into my heart. And the best thing is, someday I will be with him forever. I know that.
I have to admire your faith. Most of the time, life seems very futile to me.
It is futile without the Lord. He gives you hope for the future. He gives you joy for today. Read the Bible and see. There isn't time to tell you all the heartache I have suffered. Abusive employers, wages withheld, fear and loneliness without my children. My story is like thousands of others who are forced to take jobs in foreign countries to support their families. But my brother also believes in Christ now. He has gone back to India, and I am alone again, still trying to bring my children to live with me. Pray for us to be together. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is all we have.
In the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4 speaks to the suffering of believers like Julianne. Verses 6 and 7 say, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Listening friend, God is faithful and he does care for you. He promises to give us strength to endure any trial or temptation in this life. More than that, he promises eternal life with him through Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16 reveals, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." To learn more about New Life in Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2536. Heard in the true story of Julianne were Oksana Fedinushin, Rengan Altai, Roger Mueller, Doug James, and Larry Moran. Original music, Ralph Colburn, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Do you need counsel through some difficulty? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.